Money in the Bank.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
I'm Sonny Kidd, but I love.
Hey, this is James from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always liked a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host,
Kitty.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am your host, Lindsay Warden. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer, slash handyman, slash co-host, Sir Rockin.
That is me. I am here. We're gonna have some fun tonight.
We are gonna have some fun. We've got a little bit of news, we've got a little bit of NXT, a little bit of SmackDown, and we're, of course, gonna be talking Brain Taker, because it isn't The Rack without Brain Taker. And, well, we have a guest tonight.
We do have a guest, and he's a pretty awesome guest, too.
He is. We are joined by artist extraordinaire Rob Schomburger, and he's gonna be telling us all about his experience at WrestleMania last year, and what we can look forward to from him when he goes to WrestleMania this year, and that's gonna be coming up at the end of the show. So, you don't want to miss it. But I say we jump right to the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans.
All right, let's get into it. What's up first?
Well, I think we need to talk about a couple big stories from last week. One is that SummerSlam, in case you didn't hear, it was supposed to be at the Izod Center, and, well, they sort of closed the Izod Center.
Oops.
So, WWE announced that SummerSlam is going to be emanating from Barclays in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Crime time, yo? No. Five minutes in. Just take a shot.
Not even.
But no, so SummerSlam will be emanating from Brooklyn instead of the Izod Center. So I don't think tickets had gone on sale or anything like that. So
they're on sale this weekend.
All right, so nobody was affected. Sweet. So if you want to go to SummerSlam, you can pick up your tickets this weekend.
They also have travel packages available starting this weekend on WWE.com, something called the Big Apple Package, which is starting at $2,400. They have the Platinum Package for $1,000, just about, and the Gold Package for $830. And there's a whole bunch of different things involved in those packages. But the one thing coming out of this, we also know where the Raw after WrestleMania is going to be.
Oh, yeah?
It's going to be in Brooklyn, too.
All right.
So they're doing back-to-back shows from the Barclays Center, so that's pretty cool.
That's handy.
So yeah, if you want tickets, go to WWE.com this weekend. I know they sold some last weekend for the pre-sale, but the sale is this weekend.
Yes.
So if you want tickets, go check them out, WWE.com. Get your tickets now for SummerSlam, the biggest party in the summer. And probably the first and probably last time for a while being in New York.
Yeah, yeah. But at least I don't have to worry about them, you know, pulling stuff off of shows for me to send it to New York anymore. Like they did last year. Jerks. Still bitter. Bitter.
Can you tell she's bitter about that from somewhere?
I almost had the complete Wyatt family when they were still together and they pulled Bray off. I'm so pissed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, man.
She's never going to get over that.
I am so never going to get over that. So never. But speaking of getting over things and, well, people apparently are not getting over things, we have to talk about the other big story which broke last Friday, and this is something that's been brewing for quite a while. There have been numerous reports and accusations. There was an investigation done a couple years ago and supposedly nothing was found. And if you don't know what we're talking about, it is in fact former NXT head trainer Bill DeMott, who resigned last Friday amidst allegations of bullying and abuse and racism and sexism and a variety of other charges. And a meeting was held between WWE officials and DeMott last week where DeMott opted to resign rather than drag the company through the mud. So now, as of right now, WWE is trying to keep everything quiet, but more and more people are coming forward. I saw a tweet, a very long tweet from Dr. Tom Pritchard basically bashing the hell out of DeMott for choices made.
And WWE.
And WWE.
He bashed WWE for even bringing DeMott back in after, you know, knowing his past in general.
Yeah, there are more talents that are coming forward every day. It was said that there was great rejoicing on the NXT bus when DeMott left. I'm sure there was some rejoicing backstage as, you know, on the main roster as well.
Oh, probably. And we should clarify, a lot of the accusations took place in about 2 years ago at this point, and everything was getting better. But because everyone's stepping forward now, it's sort of like something had to be done, and they gave him the choice of, you know, basically gave him the choice to, you know, take a walk without being, you know, being fired. Which is smart on their behalf, giving him the letting him go out on a high note rather than having his legacy, you know, really completely torn apart. Because they were worried more people were going to come out, and from what I've heard, sources tell me on the inside that things were going to go down. And more people were going to have letters and interviews and talking all about his discretions. And one of them came out last week, and that sort of was like, all right, we gotta nip this in the butt really, really quick. And that's what they did.
Yeah. It's one thing if a couple people do it on a podcast, but more and more people were coming forward. More and more of the allegations were proving true, and WWE didn't want this to get drug out. They didn't want more and more people coming forward because it hurts them and they don't need the negative press right now, especially heading into WrestleMania. They don't want the negative press.
No,
and if DeMott is,
go ahead.
And if DeMott is the problem and getting rid of him is honestly going to be the solution, that's the easiest road to take. It's unfortunate because he lost his job, but at the same time, if you're doing even an ounce of what people are accusing you of doing, maybe you shouldn't be in that job in the first place.
Right, and some of the things WWE wanted him to do, they wanted him to toughen up the people and weed some people out. And, well, there's weeding people out and then taking it to a whole nother stage. And that's sort of where he took it at times.
Yeah. And that's not necessary.
No. No, it's really not at times. So, and you gotta wonder how many talents they lost because of his style. And some could say they lost Ethan Carter III because of his style. And a few others. So it all depends on what side of the coin you look at, but it wasn't a good situation, and they had to get rid of, they had to end it before it really spiraled out of control, and it was heading that way. Because we were having a conversation on Friday, and I told Lindsay as she was working, it's like, you know, I have a feeling something's going to go down by the end of the weekend. Sure enough, three hours later, the plug was pulled on Bill DeMott.
Yeah. So, as of right now, Jason Albert is the stand-in head trainer for NXT. There is no confirmation on whether he's going to be made the full time or if it's going to be, it's going to more head over to a committee type thing where you have more than one head trainer and you have people working with a group rather than one individual. None of that has been decided. Obviously, they're just trying to work their way through the system and figure out what, where to go next.
Right.
So, very interesting to see what happens to the future of NXT as they move forward. But speaking of NXT, one thing in their future is very bright.
Yeah, there is. Something good is happening for them.
And that is that NXT is going on the road to SummerSlam.
WrestleMania.
You put SummerSlam.
Oops, my bad. That was my bad. They're going on the road to WrestleMania.
Yes, they're going on the road to WrestleMania. NXT is going out to San Jose. They're going to be doing a show out there, which I really wish I could go see because it's going to be spectacular. Yeah. And this isn't a surprise because NXT's gone pretty much every year for WrestleMania since it was started. They usually bring in the developmental talents and have them work at Access. But this is the first real show that they're going to get to do.
Right. They've been performing at Access. Now they're actually performing their own event. It will take place at San Jose University Event Center. Tickets start at $15. They're available this Monday at, I believe, Ticketmaster and, you know, WWE.com. There's a lot of wrestling events in San Jose over WrestleMania weekend. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of independent promotions, Ring of Honor, and the like, Evolve and Dragon Gate or whatever you want to call them. They're all doing shows. And WWE is aware of this. They know that places are doing shows. And here's the smart thing on WWE. They're letting you go to all those other shows. This show is starting at 10 p.m. that night. So after you go see all the other wrestling, you can come talk about NXT. You can come around, mm-hmm. come and see NXT as part of your weekend, which is pretty cool. And they're making it very affordable too. $15 to start with. That's very cheap. So go and get tickets. Go see NXT as they take over San Jose on March.
Yes.
On March, Friday, March 27th. The Friday before WrestleMania. That's pretty cool. And you know who that's awesome for?
Everybody.
I was going to say Bailey because that's where she's from.
Well, yeah, but that you know, goes without saying.
But I'm just saying, she's going back home and she gets to wrestle WrestleMania weekend in her home state, or her home city. That's even better.
Just like Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff. And it needs to sell out, so y'all go sell it out that are going, because if it sells out, then they might bring NXT out on the road. There's rumblings that they're considering bringing NXT out onto the road tours and the indie scene. So, yeah, sell it out.
Yeah, do it.
Everywhere it goes, sell it out, because then that means they will bring it out on the road, which would be really cool to see.
Yeah, it would be. There's more events apparently scheduled, and there's talks of other events in other places. Nothing's confirmed, but they're planning some stuff for this year, so go out and sell it out.
Yes, and speaking of planning things and new things and first times, sounded awkward and weird, but anyway.
Is Sheamus rubbing your head as you say this?
No, Sheamus is not rubbing my head, because we're going to get serious for a minute. And that is the third big story of the week is the announcement Monday night of Connor going into the WWE Hall of Fame as the first recipient of the Warrior Award, which is a pretty, pretty cool thing. WWE obviously established this in the honor of the Ultimate Warrior, and in his spirit, Connor, and I'm not going to try to say his last name because honestly I will butcher it and I'm so sorry, but Connor the Crusher.
Best way to put it, Connor the Crusher, because that's why I didn't even try to write them. I can't even pronounce it. I've heard it 1,000 times. I just can't remember how it sounds.
Yeah, I can't remember how it sounds. But Connor the Crusher is going to be honored and idolized into the Hall of Fame as the first recipient of the Warrior Award, and I think this is really sweet.
Yeah, this is a cool award, and we'll talk to Rob Schomburger a little bit about it later in the show. Shameless plug, because he's coming up at the end of the show. We talked to him about it. This is an awesome idea. This is something cool, something different, and people have to realize that, you know, it's like, this is a special circumstance award. For anyone who thinks this is a bad idea, you need to go look in the mirror and reflect on things. This is awesome. This kid touched their lives. if you want them to know how they touch their lives, go to the WWE Network. Go watch the WWE 24 series called the WrestleMania 1, the 30 years of WrestleMania 1. They do a whole section on him and how they touched their lives. It's pretty amazing. It started, I believe, when he wanted to meet Daniel Bryan a few years ago.
It all started with a viral campaign where Connor was very sick with a brain tumor, and his friends and family started a campaign because I don't think he was eligible for Make-A-Wish for him to meet Daniel Bryan, and it went viral, and Bryan agreed to do it.
Right, and him and Kane actually showed up for that.
Yes, him and Kane actually showed up for it. There is video of it out there that you can find online, and it's this really sweet meeting between the two, and Bryan really tried to support Connor and his family through WWE, and Connor made several trips to them, and he touched everyone on that roster. You know, you see him with AJ telling her to stop her craziness. Steph was obviously very deeply moved by him. She talks very beautifully about him.
Right, and she's the one who probably was behind starting the charity for him.
Yes.
Connor's Cure, there's stuff on WWE Shop you can buy to help support the cause. Do it. It's a good idea. And yeah, I just remember the first video we saw of him, and it was him putting the yes lock on Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
It was tremendous. But yeah, he had an impact on their lives, and he deserves to be honored at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's not a full induction into the Hall of Fame. That he doesn't...
He'll be listed as a Hall of Famer, but it's not the Hall of Fame. He's being honored at the Hall of Fame. It's a special award that will be featured at the Hall of Fame for years to come.
It's representative of someone who does something special for the company or with the company. It's not someone who's necessarily affiliated with the company, but it's someone who touches the lives of people within the WWE and the fans of the WWE, which Connor did. He meant a lot to us because he was one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see him being so brave and so sweet and so amazing through this horrible disease that he was suffering with. And it's like you never saw him really ever lose, I guess, hope. But we didn't see a lot of him. But every time you saw him, he was always happy and he was having fun and he was smiling. He was just being a kid.
Right. And the video of him and Triple H in the ring at WrestleMania last year.
Oh, my God. That was like right in the feels.
Right.
It's like, oh, that's so cute, because they're all, it's like he knocks out, in quotations, Triple H, and the entire roster is around the ring, jumping up and down and cheering for him, because, you know, he knocked out Triple H. It's the cutest damn thing ever.
Right? Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And it's like, how can you not? So it's really sweet and really adorable that they're doing this for his family. And I know it means a lot for his family, which Rob Schomburger will get into it when we talk to him later in the show about what this means for him. But yeah, so congratulations to him. Congratulations to his family. Pretty awesome that he's getting this award.
I would agree.
And speaking of pretty awesome, hey Rock, do you want to do an entrance at WrestleMania?
How could I do this entrance? I would have to be in California, wouldn't I?
You would have to be in California, but we could get to California.
We could get to California.
But I think we'd have to work on our Russian.
Yeah, I think we would. Yeah, I'm not very good with other languages.
Same here.
I have trouble with the first one.
But you could just say da.
Da. Huh.
Da.
Da. You know what? I don't think you actually have to speak.
Ooh, even better.
Yeah, I think you just have to look the part. And what we're referring to is that, right now, WWE is looking for a certain person, male 24 to 33, who lives in California and, you know, wants to be a Russian soldier. Because they're going to apparently be doing some sort of special entrance with Russian soldiers at WrestleMania. Pretty cool.
Rusev Crush?
Rusev Crush special entrance.
Ooh. Shiny.
Yeah, it's probably one of the many special entrances they're going to be doing at WrestleMania. I wouldn't want to be the Russian guy if it turns belly. With that crowd. But at the same time, it's probably going to look really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to look really cool. It'll be a really cool visual, but it's like, one way, the other way. It's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to how they present it, but they're looking for people. So if you're in a casting area in the California area and you're available for 3 days on WrestleMania weekend, go see if you can get a hold of it.
And, well, if not, and you still want to go to Mania, there's a chance that you could go, thanks to Mick Foley. Because Mick Foley is raffling off a WrestleMania Dream Vacation. The grand prize winner is going to receive airfare, Todd, if I could talk, airfare and ground transportation to San Francisco, San Jose. You'll get a hotel. It's at the Crown Plaza San Jose Hotel. Right. Fancy.
Right. I believe you get money for Mick Foley. Get $1,000.
Get $1,000, you get an original painting by our guest tonight, Rob Schomburger, of the wrestler of your choice.
She wants Bray Wyatt, or she wins this.
I want Bray Wyatt in general, but yeah.
You know.
I'll take a painting of him, sure. You get 2 tickets to Foley's show, you get tickets to Monday Night Raw, to access to the Hall of Fame, you get to go to Mysterio's party, to Kevin Nash's party, you get tickets to Ring of Honor, to Evolve, to an evening with Jim Ross. It's a total grand prize of $4,420.50. You also get to hang out with Foley and his daughter Noelle at the show.
Right, you get to you can watch WrestleMania with them in their box.
Which is pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet.
So, if you're interested, you can buy raffle tickets. You have a limit of, it's a minimum purchase of 5 tickets each.
So that's $10.
Yes.
$10 for a $5,000 prize.
That's pretty awesome. So if you want to go there, you can go to netraffle.org/raffle/index.php? RID equals 868.
We should try to find the actual address.
We probably should.
I'm going to go look it up really quickly. As you tell us about the other news as I look this up.
Tell us about the other news as we look up. Yes, Stahl. Yay, Stahl, because live looking up things on the rack.
You can go to WrestleMania.rain.org.
There we go.
And it takes you exactly to the link that Lindsay was rattling off.
What?
That's
the link that you put in the run sheet.
No, but I mean it redirects right to it.
Yes, I know. But I didn't have the actual link, and it's like, yeah, that'll work. It's short now.
Can you tell we're giving each other crap because we can?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a normal show.
It's a normal day.
Yeah, pretty much. So, and
oh,
finally...
By the way, since I'm on his Twitter, you have to enter before March 19th.
Yes.
I'm going to make that clear, before March 19th, because, you know, you got to get there and stuff. So.
Yeah. So, everybody, go donate. It's for a good cause. And you may get to meet Mick Foley.
Yeah!
And finally, we have a little bit of TNA news. Rockstar Spud, Tyrus, Matt Hardy, and Angelina Love have all re-signed with TNA. Good news for them.
More talents to be announced this weekend, along with some new additions, apparently. And they're going to be taping TV this weekend in Orlando. So if you're in an Orlando area.
I swear to God, we're sober. That's what's sad.
Orlando area. Go see TNA this weekend. I think Friday to Monday after taping. More information at impactwrestling.com.
Did Storm resign?
I think he resigned last year.
And is there any credence to Joe signing with WWE?
Oh, we'll find out. He's not taking any bookings after April, so we'll have to see on that one. By the way, there's a couple more new stories we got to talk about.
Okay.
One, Justin Gabriel was apparently the bunny at times.
Okay, that explains things.
And two, how about them Cowboys can't get in? So where's your running back? Oh, wait, he's in Philly now. Oh yeah. How about that?
I've been waiting all day for him to do that. I knew he would.
I didn't disappoint, did I?
No, you didn't. I'm so proud.
There you go. So that's the news now.
All right, well, I say we take our first break in the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about last night's NXT. We'll let you know what happened and
all that fun stuff. Remember.
All that fun stuff.
Remember, Rob Schomburger, still to come.
Yes. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
every Monday night. Get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost! Jarvis! Jason the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down pins of Dean Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply DaBomb.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
You think you know me.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
When you look at me, they are so gorgeous, they'll set you free. Could it be my walk, or just my stare, that makes you freeze when I appear? Super good looking.
Helps if I take it off mute. And we'll come back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we are back to talk all about last night's exciting NXT, including Mr. Super Good Looking, the man who's the master of the blue still, Tyler Breeze.
So, before we get into the show, in NXT, I'm sitting here watching WrestleMania 2000. And they're up to the hardcore title match, where they had 15 minutes and just to beat all, like, I don't know, 15 people to beat the crap out of each other. It's pretty interesting.
Is that the one where Kane was in the golf cart?
No, that's 17.
Oh.
This has Hardcore Holly, the Headbangers, Viscera, Taz. They're all just beating each other around the ring with hardcore weapons. It's like, whoever walks out of here in 15 minutes, with whoever gets the last pinfall in 15 minutes is the champion. Yeah, this is interesting. So we have NXT. This was an okay show this week.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
It was still good. It was still good, but there wasn't anything overly memorable, is the best way to put it. Well, this was sort of like, we're just humming along type show. But next week we'll get into. But up first, it was Big Cass and Enzo Amore taking on the Lucha Dragons. And here's the thing. I thought about this. From a mic work standpoint, I'm not saying they're there yet. They're far away from it. But if they do it right, Enzo and Cass could have sort of the, like, connection with the crowd like the Outlaws did.
Yeah. Yeah, they could. They're already developing that following.
It's not comparing them talent-wise to the New Age Outlaws. Not doing that. Just saying, you know, they could have that connection with the crowd.
They could, yeah.
And what was really surprising, the crowd was with Enzo and Cass and not the Lucha Dragons.
They're over.
I'm not surprised they're over. I was more surprised they were booing the Lucha Dragons.
Whenever Enzo and Cass are out there, anybody else is like second fiddle.
I suppose. It just was weird. This was a solid match. Enzo did a lot of the wrestling. Big Cass was making the save a couple times. He saved Enzo off the big dive and just sort of took control, nailed Enzo, Kalisto with a big boot, dragged Enzo over to the corner, took himself in, hit the East River Crossing. Enzo did his big splash from the top for the victory. Your winners are Enzo and Cass. I guess they're now the number one contenders for the gold?
If they're not the number one contenders, they're working their way to be the number one contenders. They're making a run for the belts.
Thought I heard somewhere that they may be the number one contenders, so we'll see. What is pretty cool, they announced at this point, next week on NXT, on the WWE Network, will be matches from the NXT Arnold Classic from last weekend. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks for the title next week. And we're going to see Kevin Owens and Alex Riley. Plus, we're going to see some tryouts from talent on the show, too. That should be a fun little show next week from the Arnold Classic.
I'm kind of excited, but I want to see Cesaro versus Neville.
Yeah.
I heard rumors about that match. I want to see that match so bad. Like, Bliss and Banks, that's going to be good. But yeah, Neville and Cesaro, yeah.
Right. So, that'll be a fun, different show next week. We had an Alex Riley hype package, getting him all excited for his big match later tonight. We then had Alexa Bliss taking on Carmella. Carmella was the aggressor in this one. She took it to Bliss throughout the match with repeated hard shots at different points. Bliss made her fiery comeback, including the Bliss flip from the top, and then she headed to the top rope, did some sort of flip thing off the top rope for a win. Here's the thing. Bliss, she's very athletic. You can see that.
Mm-hmm.
But watching this match, her moves didn't have an impact. She landed too soft on her opponents. Was that just me, or did you catch some of that?
Yeah, she does, but I think it's just because she's so light.
That might be part of it, because she has a gymnastics background or something, I don't know.
She does, yeah, she has a gymnastics background, so that's how she's used to sort of landing, I think, is very lightly.
Right, her moves need a little bit more force behind them, especially, like, the flip off the top rope was impressive, but she came down so soft it looked like it didn't do a lot.
She's trying to be careful not to hurt anyone, I think, including herself.
Right. But close that off. At some point, she's gotta take that next step.
Yeah. And I think they'll get her there. She's a work in progress. They're still trying to get her to the point where, you know, they can start to make her be more aggressive. Right now, she's a face, so they're trying to work that aggression gradually in with her.
Right, and you can tell. It was just one of those things I noticed while watching this match. It's sort of like, maybe you can hit some moves a little bit more hard with a little bit more force. We then heard from Alex Riley.
Alex, after a long absence from the ring, tonight you return to face CJ Parker. What are your thoughts heading into this match?
My thoughts? Well, maybe I can put this into terms that you can understand. What if you were locked in a cage for 2 years, starving, watching every single person around you eat. Every single day of your life. Locked in this cage, watching. Being told there's no room for Alex Riley. Hey kid, maybe next week. And the entire time your approach doesn't change. You're dedicated to this business. You're hoping and praying for one chance to fight for your life, because honestly, you don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea where your life is going to go. And you can't even fight. You're stuck in a cage. You know, I got to thank Kevin Owens for this. He gave me a reason out. He talks about having a wife and kids that he fights for. I have no family. My family is out there. And it's time I go join him. It's time I fight for my life. It's time to rage.
A very impassioned speech from Mr. Riley.
You might say he's full of rage.
I see what you did there. She's the clever one with the puns.
Mm-hmm.
I like the promo. The one thing I can say... Alright, here, want to hear something? They're doing a better job building up Alex Riley than they are Roman Reigns. Think about that one.
To be fair, Alex Riley's better on the mic than Roman Reigns.
Yeah, but they're actually... But in, not just on the mic. In terms of what they're doing to make you care about an eventual match, they're doing a better job with Riley than they are with Roman Reigns, who's in the main event of WrestleMania. Think about how crazy that is.
I've always liked Riley. I'm not sure I'm crazy about the whole him being full of rage thing, but I thought they had something with Riley. I really did. I liked him when he was in NXT. I thought he was the perfect foil to Miz. Mm-hmm. And his career was starting to take off, and he's not bad in the ring. He's actually really good in the ring.
He's alright.
And then he just, like, vanished.
He was in hot water with some people. This is the best way to put what happened to him.
Yeah, he pissed somebody off.
Mm-hmm, and when you piss somebody off, and apparently it was the one of the big players in the on the roster, don't want your career kind of suffers.
A lot.
Then we can't see you at all.
Again with the puns. But, yeah, so a pretty good promo by Alex. Like I said, I'm going to have to see where this rage thing goes, because, you know, whenever they're like, oh, well, you know, he's 6'4" of rage, I'm like, oh, well, maybe he needs to go see Dr. Shelby. He's good for that. He'll fix it.
Yeah, we'll get into more of the rage here in a minute. Before we get into rage, we hear from Mr. Selfie Stick, Tyler Breeze.
Hideo, Hideo, Hideo. It didn't have to come to this. It didn't have to get ugly. Well, considering you were in it, I guess it did have to get ugly. But now the fact that it's me and you one-on-one, it's time for you to find out that the King of Cuteville is not just a pretty face.
Hideo, or Tyler, honey, you better be pretty sure what you're doing, because the King of Cuteville may get his face kicked in.
He may, and that's coming up later in the show. We had CJ Parker take on Alex Riley, and this is where we went, what the hell did they do to his entrance?
It's all red, and it's got fire and eyes, and like, what the hell?
He's full of rage.
Again, Dr. Shelby. Like, I'm pretty sure that's not healthy.
Do you need to take a crap at Riley? Are you stuffed up, backed up? Do you need to let it out? That might help.
We're here if you know you want to vent.
The number is 267-297-1397. You can call us anytime. We'll listen to your frustrations.
Totally. That's what we're here for.
We're caring people.
We are. But, I mean, I'm happy that Alex Riley's back. It's good to see him back in the ring. I'm just not sure about this new character. I'm going to have to see where this goes.
Right.
But at least he's back in the ring. At least he's wrestling again. So it looks like they're going to give him a little bit of a chance.
And he needs to clean up his look a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. And I think he will.
Probably. Because the look he has doesn't really makes him look old in the ring. Just that. Anyway.
Well, to be fair, he's aged. He hasn't aged very gracefully.
No, he hasn't.
And he's put on a little weight.
Yeah, he has.
So.
Yeah, maybe this will come back, will help. Parker controlled the match early. Riley made his comeback, hit the blockbuster from the top rope for the win. The match itself was alright. I would like to see a little bit more offense from Riley, since he's all supposed to be, you know, all aggressive and fiery and.
Yeah.
It just sort of, it was just your solid average match, nothing totally special.
I would agree with that. Yeah, it was, I would have, poor Mr. Manpanties, I would have liked to have seen him get just like beat down.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be this rage inside him, right?
I guess he's saving it for Kevin Owens.
I guess so. Speaking of which, segue, here's the champ.
Alex Riley, it's a good thing you look as great as you do because you are the dumbest man in NXT. And if that horrible tattoo on your back is not enough to prove that, the fact that you put an end to your own career as a commentator to fight me sure does. Because now I'm going to end your in-ring career too. And once I'm done with that, I'm going to put an end to the rise of Finn Balor. Trust me.
Kevin Owens taking shots.
Strong words.
Champ can back it up, though. That's the thing.
Yep. Yep, he can.
He can back it up. Tyler Breeze taking on Hideo Itami in your main event. Breeze stayed away from Hideo early. Bailed out a few times. Bailed out a third time. Hideo went after him. Caught him with a nice shot on the outside. Nice big clothesline. After catching Hideo on the top rope, Breeze took control of the match for a while. Both men went back and forth. Breeze hit the supermodel kick for the two count. Breeze went to use the pole. He ate the pole instead. Hideo then hit the kick in the back of the head from the top rope for a two count. But here's where things turned. Hideo had Breeze down in the corner, goes for the running drop kick in the corner. Breeze moved out of the way. Hideo hit nothing but turnbuckle, got back up. Breeze hit the beauty shot. And this surprised me. Tyler Breeze beat Hideo Itami.
He did. In Hideo's... Not his first loss.
Not his first loss, but a surprising loss.
Well, you can't... You needed Tyler to get a win over Hideo.
You did. And I thought early on, okay, I know what the finish is going to be. It's going to be Hideo beating Tyler. But I thought, no, Tyler needs this win. And when it actually happened, I was actually legitimate surprised that he actually won. Which is cool, because I read the spoilers, but I forgot the outcome of this match. I was like, wait, Tyler won?
Tyler won!
Which was cool to see. It was like, oh, hey, he won. That was awesome. Tyler needed a victory. He's been on a little bit of losing streak, so he needed to get his momentum back. And this was a good momentum builder. And it keeps the feud alive, which means they're going to get a third match. This wasn't as good as TakeOver, but this was all right.
Yeah, this was a good one. I mean, you really kind of can't go wrong with these two. And the more that they work together, the better their matches are going to get. This one was just, you know, there. Because I think it was, hey, it's we don't need to do as much. We're still going to put on a show, but we don't need to go full bore on it.
Right, and you can see Hideo still trying to find himself.
Yeah, he's struggling a little bit with it, but I think he's gaining his confidence in the ring, and I think a program with someone will help him do that. Because the more he figures it out, the better it will be for him.
He needs a focus, and he sort of hasn't had a real focus since the Ascension stuff, so it's like, alright, you gotta get that focus back, gotta sort of find your way, and I think this may help him find his way a little bit. Which is good, he needs to find that way.
Yes, I would agree with that completely. So, I think that does it for NXT.
Yeah, it was a solid show, nothing
to write home about, but good show.
Good show overall. Next week will be interesting since it'll be from the Arnold Classic.
I can't wait for that. So, we're going to take our second and final break of the evening.
No.
Oh, that's right. Our middle break of the evening, because we're taking a break before Rob Schomburger. So when we come back, We're going to be doing Tweet of the Week. We're going to be talking a little Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker. We're going to be talking SmackDown, so you don't want to miss all that. You're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer. Producer's the show.
Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why doesn't Rob Parks do it? We waited forever to Rob come, for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William the Ace McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. Alright, everyone was listening to that, forget about it. Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
Alright. I'm Rob Parks, your godfather tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live. Midnight Eastern Time. Or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rock on Wild Talk Radio.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Watch your very friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more, it cannot wait, I'm sure.
This is where I need to stop reading Tumblr and actually, you know, go to my favorites, because totally forgot to do that.
Professionalism 101.
I'm so professional.
So as she does remember, Rob Schomburger is coming up here in just a few minutes, folks. We will be speaking with the man in a little while.
Yes. So, The Miz walked into my hotel suite and saw this. I better not find out who put them in my room. Hashtag not funny. Hashtag Big Mike, which is a picture of a bottle of Niagara spring water.
All right, you stole my first one.
I probably stole a few more. Langdon Alger. Bree, if Brian sent me a selfie nude, I'd be mortified. Nikki, I'd love it if John did it. Seth Rollins, it's a trap. Don't do it. Hashtag Total Divas.
By the way, go listen to our Rock Extras this week.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there, rockradioshow.com.
Yeah. Dolph Ziggler. People complaining about landing early and sitting on runway. It's just like home, on your phone, but forced to sit instead of choosing to. WWE. Which superstar's blue steel looks the best? And you see Renee Young, The Miz, Dolph Ziggler, and Sin Cara. To which Tyler Breeze responds, "Come on!" And WWE's like, okay, hashtag Blue Steel, hashtag Zoolander. And they include a picture of Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, I mean, Zoolander 2 is coming out at some point.
Yeah. The Miz, congratulations to Alex Riley. 4 years after turning on me, you finally made it back to the ring. Miz Dow, hashtag listen to Miz, you succeed, hashtag listen to fans, you fail. To which somebody tweeted him, I don't think Riley did it for you, he did it for fans. And Miz replies, exactly, and 3 months later, you forgot him. Same for Miz Dow.
He has a point.
He does have a point. And that's all I got.
Really? I thought I gave you another one that you didn't take?
No.
Okay. Fake John Madden breaking. Dominican Zeus signed with the Dolphins for the value of Detroit plus $114 million. Ouch. Katie Nolan. Ray Lewis now has a TV show where he practices therapy without a license because he's a life coach. And also, what even are laws anyway? He's a life coach. Ray Lewis. Of all people. It's weird. WWE Creativist. Welcome to the Authority Roast with Randy Orton. Mike Johnson of PW Insider. So Sting forgot his voice in TNA? Keep it 5-star. Who is this guy talking and why is he reading Sting's audiobook? WWE Creativish. Why did we get Imposter Sting to do the voiceover for this package? Hit the ropes. Why didn't Sting, in parentheses, his voiceover guy, mention that Sting tried to save TNA too? These are all points. These are all correct. Three-man booth. WWE. We've all heard Sting speak before for like the last 30 years. We're on the WWE Network for only $9.99. Whose voice is this? Sideshow Jamie. Ursula Sea Witch messed up and gave Sting the wrong voice box back. Three-man booth. That wasn't Sting's voice. That wasn't even Sting Dow. Andrew Goldstein. Just because Wiz Khalifa was on the show doesn't mean they had to auto-tune Sting's voice. Three-man booth. At least John Cena got what he wanted and Zack Ryder didn't have to get put in a wheelchair in the process. WWE Creative Edge. The New Day are going to give WrestleMania the clap. WWE Creative Edge. We finally let Xavier Woods get a win. That's Uso. Crazy. Keep it 5-star. Los Matadors cashing in their What Do We Have to Lose briefcase. Or hashtag roll. Creative Edge. WWE Creative Edge. The Undertaker's power is locked in a jar while most 90 superstars had their power locked in a needle.
Whoa.
WWE Creative-ish, a flaming rocking chair? Cracker Barrel is going to be so pissed. Keep it 5-star. I'm picturing Undertaker backstage with the headset on, cueing his music. Taker, dim the lights, then hit him with the gong. In 3, 2, 1. Fake ESPN, Julius Thomas to sign with the Jaguars for $9 million and 3 receptions per year. Scott Stanford, just added to WrestleMania Access, play Hacky Sack with WWE Graves, included one grilled cheese lunch and unicorn tattoo. So, Chris Law, so Ted DiBiase is advising Darrell Rivas, right? Mike Silski, what if I told you a coach traded his entire team for a quarterback with bad knees? ESPN 30 for 30. Philly hates Chip Kelly right now. Hashtag Eagles. Bob Ford tweets Dave Spadaro. Dave Spadaro says Eagles got a quarterback they love. That's nice. They can bring Mintz to his hospital room after his next surgery. Jeff McClain. At this rate, Eagles front office shakeup will be the 100th item on the docket when Chip Kelly is finally forced to speak at the owners' meetings. WIP Morning Show. Caller day. My dad can't go to the game now because all the handicap spaces are going to be taken. Bully Ray tweeted Eric Young. Hockey sucks. Soccer rules. Eric Young replied, you're embarrassing yourself. Bully Ray replied, you know it's true, it's damn true. Trade in your girly skates for some man studs. And Young replied, you have lost it. And Bully Ray replied, bazinga! WWE Creativist. Dean Ambrose, Heel Ziggler, Daniel Bryan joined forces as the internet's wet dream. Hashtag reasons to watch SmackDown. Not Tony Romo. The Colts cutting Trent Richardson is about as surprising as McDonald's making people fat. And that's Tweet of the Week.
So, we're going to run down SmackDown really quickly.
Yeah, we should, I guess.
Which basically this was all about the Intercontinental title hunt again. We saw a little bit on Bray, a little bit on Sting.
A lot of recaps. A lot of really recaps. Mark Henry returned.
He did return, and Roman Reigns tried to kill him.
Yeah. He tried to kill him. Then they called Daniel Bryan a turd at the end of SmackDown.
Yeah, which was like, what?
I didn't understand it.
Was that like the best y'all got?
Right? But apparently that's what they came up with. It's like, oh, okay, alright. I was confused.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, alright. Especially since it was Dean Ambrose. It's like, really, Dean? And you could tell that he didn't want to say the line.
Yeah, he was like, oh, okay, I'm going to say this line just to say it.
Yeah, it was kind of awkward and weird and...
strange.
Yeah, strange.
So that was SmackDown in a nutshell, everybody. Hope you enjoyed our recap. It wasn't much to the show tonight.
Yeah, there really wasn't a lot to SmackDown tonight. Obviously, Raw is the focus, especially as we are coming down to WrestleMania. I would expect SmackDown next week to be a little bit more exciting, maybe.
One would hope. One would really hope.
Crossing my fingers?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so...
but now we gotta get into a real topic.
We do.
And I'm just gonna sit back and let her go for all for a few minutes and talk.
So... we gotta talk about this brain taker thing.
What do you want?
We're going to be talking about ad nauseum until the match actually happens.
Three more weeks, baby. Three more weeks, and then we're going to spend a week breaking it down and then you're reflecting on it for about another 4 weeks. Be ready.
And depending on what happens, I'll probably watch it a lot.
And I'll probably be sucked into watching it a lot, too.
Yeah. So, this past Monday night on Raw, we finally got Taker's response to Bray. Which after weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of Bray jumping up and down and waving his arms and calling Taker's name and, you know, doing everything he can to get Taker's attention, Bray finally does the one thing that he knows is going to get Taker's attention, which is he steals the damn urn.
Taker, look at me. I'm right here. Can you see my hand? I'm waving for you. Please, can you notice me? I'm here.
Pay attention to me. I'll be like your bestest friend ever. Taker, over here. Taker. Like, that's basically what it's been like the last couple weeks. And... I've loved every second of it, don't get me wrong, because it's more Bray Wyatt. But we have Bray steal the urn. There's no explanation as to how Bray stole the urn, yet. I have my theories. Personally, I think he got it from Kane, but that's just me.
I heard he bought it on eBay.
Yeah, I've heard he bought it on eBay, and he had a fake certificate of authenticity, and well, damn it, he's never going to win Michelle back now. Thank you for that, Sam.
Continue. I'm just crying laughter right now.
But, so Bray steals the urn, and Monday night he used it to resurrect, in quotations, The Undertaker, in which he cut this amazing promo about how he was not going to be The Undertaker's redemption. He was going to lay The Undertaker to rest, basically. And he opens the urn, and in classic Taker fashion, the urn starts to smoke. And then we get a gong, and then a second gong, and then a third gong. There's lightning. It's revealed that underneath this rather large stand for this very small urn is the rocking chair. Somehow it got mysteriously put back together. And, well, then Taker decided to be an asshole and light it on fire. And where this leads to is up on the screen flashes a message that says, at WrestleMania, the man comes around.
Which has given her many, many theories.
And I keep having this running theory where the Undertaker is going to come back and he's going to come back different. They really have an opportunity to do one last great reinvention of the Undertaker character, even if it's one time, which I know for a lot of people would not be worth it, but for me it would be something different, it would be something new, and it would really refresh the character, and it might, depending on how they do the reboot of the character, could open doors for him in terms of doing other things, such as being an authority figure, as being a commentator, which he's expressed an interest in the past in doing, of doing any other number of roles that will keep him around. Right. It just maybe not as an active performer in the ring.
He'll be a high on Mark Calloway, professional wrestling announcer.
Yeah, or it could be that, you know, hey, he doesn't want to do any of that, and he wants to go home and be with his wife and kid, which is fine. But you could do something really kind of cool. And we came back to The Man Comes Around by Johnny Cash, because I had to go listen to it when Rock told me it was a Cash song, because it's like, okay, well, you know, when you think of Johnny Cash, you think of, you know, what he came out to at WrestleMania 27, which was Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold Me Down. And it's like, that's very straightforward, very Undertaker-ish. Really should have been coming out to it his whole fucking career. No offense to Jim Johnston.
Right, but it would have cost you way too much money.
Oh, it would have cost him way too much money, but he walked out to that and it's like, that's ridiculously perfect.
Right, and watching replays when they've taken the song out of it just makes the entrance at WrestleMania like, oh, that was awesome with the song and everything.
Yeah, the Cash song made that entrance that year.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, but not to get off on too much of a tangent. And if you listen to the song, the lyrics are very Undertaker-esque, but the beat is not. It's very upbeat, which is kind of strange.
Yeah, especially for an Undertaker tie-in, you would assume.
And it could mean anything. It could mean anything. It could be nothing. You know, it's interesting how they phrased at WrestleMania, the man comes around. They didn't refer to him as the dead man. They didn't call him the Undertaker. They just said the man comes around, and then he came over the loudspeaker and said, you know, you will rest in peace. To which Bray then sat there watching his chair burn, laughing like a maniac.
Which is a great visual, by the way.
Which is an amazing visual. Yeah, one thing about Monday Night, especially having gone back and rewatched it, Bray did an excellent job with this.
Mm-hmm.
Bray's been doing an excellent job with this whole feud.
He's been the MVP of the road to WrestleMania.
Because he's pushing this feud on his own. It's one-sided, and he's having to basically make it or break it and sell it with the help of the WWE production staff. And they're all doing a wonderful, wonderful job with this, and I would expect to see more shenanigans from Taker as we proceed to WrestleMania.
I would agree with that.
But, again, it's just this working theory that Taker could come back different. He could come back the same, but he has grown his hair out. Thank God.
For the moment,
he could shave his head, but his hair has grown out. It's actually a little bit long, which looks good from what I can tell. He's obviously getting in shape because we're seeing pictures on Instagram, which
is the weirdest thing in the world, thinking Undertaker has pictures on Instagram. It's so,
right?
So weird. So, so weird.
And I'm not sure I'm like 100% okay with it, because it's like it breaks the illusion a little bit. And that's why I'm thinking there's going to be some kind of change in the character. Because he's pretty protective of his character in terms of kayfabe.
Because you never saw these pictures.
You never saw these pictures, and now she's putting these out. And WWE is fairly protective of his image, especially Vince. They don't want that illusion of the Undertaker ruined.
But to be fair, a lot of the pictures that get put out there, you don't see his face.
Dude, you can tell it's him.
No, but I'm saying they're keeping some mystery alive. That's my point.
You know, honestly, seeing him in the gym, even if you don't see him, his face, kind of breaks the illusion.
I'm not disagreeing, but I'm just saying, at least he's hiding his face.
At least he's hiding his face, but, like, just seeing the pictures of him in the gym, it's, especially before the stuff with Bray happened on Monday, just kind of breaks the illusion a little bit, because it's like, okay, well, we know you're working out, so I know that's gonna make the match.
Right, and it's making him, really, honestly, it's humanizing the character a lot.
Which means he could come back as just Mark Calloway. And he could walk out in just, you know, a black coat and pants and a shirt and be like, what's up? He could do it. We could get a darker version of the American Badass. We could get the same Undertaker that we're used to. Like, the thing that's so fascinating about this year is it's game on in terms of what he could look like and what he could do.
Right.
Because a whole new world has been opened up thanks to the streak being broken.
Correct.
And so now it's, well, what would the Undertaker's reaction to it be once he healed? You know, obviously Bray Wyatt has had a very difficult time getting his attention, so it seems Taker is not as vested as he used to be
in
terms of his name. So it's, you know, okay, well, you want to steal my entrance? Fine, I'm not going to respond. You want to talk smack week after week after week? You want to threaten to put me in a coffin? Fine. You steal my urn? Oh, hell no.
That's where we crossed the line. It's my prized possession right there.
And as this moves forward, I'd like to just see that be it with the urn. Like, that was what was used to get Taker to respond. Now that Bray has Taker's full on attention, that's all you need with the urn.
Yeah, I think the urn is taking a back seat now. I think it was I'm going to bring him back out of hiding, and I'm going to use this as my tool to do so.
Yeah. But should be interesting as this goes forward.
It should. It really should. And that's what makes Monday Night Raw really, really intriguing this week.
Yeah, and we're probably not going to see Taker until WrestleMania, which I'm a little bummed for. I would have liked to have seen him one other time.
Right, and speaking of that, go to wildtalkradio.com after this show's over. Read my article on wildtalkradio.com about missing stars on this road to WrestleMania.
Yes, because it's very intriguing.
It is, but we're not going to see him, which sucks, because the party is like, I want to see him, I want to see him, I want to see him, and it's like, the other part is like, you get the promotion side of it. But as a fan, it's like, I want to see that interaction one time before Mania. I want to see them have a moment, even if they don't touch, just like the moment before they get there. But we're going to save that probably to WrestleMania.
I would love it almost that Bray is out on the floor, or he's up on the ramp, or something like that, and the lights go out, and we hear the gong, and when the lights come back up, there's Taker in the middle of the ring, just glaring at Bray.
Right, and then, you know, and you don't even have to show him fully. Maybe keep the building dark and just put a spotlight on Taker in the ring, and then Bray goes to go after Taker, gong, he disappears again, and you never get that first, you know, face-to-face meeting. It's just a tease.
Yeah. Where Taker's shown up to take a look at Bray.
He's playing mind games with Bray Wyatt. You want me you want me so bad? Fine. Come
here
get me.
Here I am.
Come get me.
But yeah, so looking forward to seeing how it goes.
Same here.
So I say we take our final break of the evening.
Sounds like a good idea.
And when we come back, we are going to be joined by artist extraordinaire Rob Schomburger, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back. There's only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/mbg1211.
This is your Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, and I'm going to make something perfectly clear to my congregation. When Pope is done pimp-slapping all of his opponents in the ring, and Pope likes to sit down and relax, he goes to youtube.com/mbg1211.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right.
It was this past Sunday. A plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really? Come on, now.
Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the Real Americans.
Going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making I seen them too in action, and I was, like, all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No. As luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I seen them face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked them if I had seen them. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team list titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Free Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Free Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Free Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked Free. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh my god! Get the fuck out!
I believe you changed the answer, Rock.
Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you,
Jay. I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
I'm coming, just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Getting you.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And joining us right now is the man who's behind all the amazing artwork that we see all over WWEShop.com. Please welcome back to The Rack, Rob Schomburger. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
We're happy to have you back because, you know, about a year ago this time, I think, we actually spoke to you and you were getting ready to head down to New Orleans for WrestleMania 30 to take part in WWE Access. You know, how memorable was that experience for you?
It was life-changing. No other way to describe it. It was a ton of hard work. Like each day was like 20 hours.
Oh, wow.
It was more like napping than sleeping. But it was definitely, there's my life before WrestleMania 30 and my life after, and they're two very different things. And I'm really excited to see what happens this year.
I was going to say, you painted this huge piece live every day, didn't you, that celebrated the 30 years of WrestleMania that was commissioned by WWE, didn't you?
Yes.
And, by the way, it was amazing. And I'm kind of with everybody else. I know you can't sell prints of it, but I wish you could because it's a spectacular piece. But where in corporate did that end up? I'm really curious to know.
I think it's on the second floor, they told me. I haven't been there to see it yet. But they ended up making like a whole like hallway that celebrates WrestleMania, and that's the centerpiece of it. No pressure, right?
Right. It's like, oh yeah, you know, it's going to be the centerpiece, you know? No worries. It'll be fine. So
I also did six other paintings for them that was used in the memorabilia section of Access. And those paintings are, last I heard, hanging up in the talent relations department. Each one were like the six biggest stars in the history of WWE. So it's there to kind of remind the talent relations staff of what they're working towards. Again, right. No pressure.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty cool feeling to have so much of your artwork in WWE headquarters and have it admired by so many people there. You know, Triple H walks by.
Yeah.
You know, every day sees your stuff.
He's actually got one of my paintings in his office of Killer Kowalski.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you were there in person last year, and we call it the thing, because I don't like to talk to it about it because I'm a big Undertaker fan. But what was it like for you when the streak was broken?
I had a very unique vantage point for the show because I hand painted the jacket that Ultimate Warrior wore the next night on Raw. I got to actually watch the show from his private box.
Oh wow!
And my wife and I, and then several of his, like his agent and several personal friends, didn't actually get to hang out with him there. He was very busy backstage, but you know, we're up there watching, and you know, just being able to see the whole crowd, you know, those, whatever it was, 75,000 people that were there, having that kind of vantage point to see that was awesome. Or, you know, like when everyone started doing the yes chant, seeing all those people at the same time do that, it was almost something like from a zombie movie, you know, like 75,000 people doing the same motion at the same time. But anyway, you know, it was an Undertaker match, so I was definitely into it, but also kind of like in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, it's a WrestleMania match. He's going to win.
Right.
So I was turned and talking to Warrior's agent, who's a friend, and all of a sudden, like, it happened, right? And we're like, wait, what just, you know, like, what just happened? And, like, everyone was just kind of, like, stunned, and then the graphic went up. It's a 21-1, and, like, I describe it to people, and they think it's, like, hyperbole or something, but it's the truth, is that there was a tangible feeling of 75,000 people at the same time gasping. Like of the air actually getting sucked out of the arena. It was the strangest thing. And then like they start showing all the crowd reactions, you know, and Warrior's agent and I were just kind of like chuckling at the reactions on people's faces, right? And then I turn over to nudge my wife and I see that she's one of them.
Oh no.
she was like somewhere between like utterly stupefied and 100% rage, you know.
it was
so strange.
I can empathize with her. I cried, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
It was a little heartbreaking, but it seemed at least at home that like the arena was so quiet for a second you could have heard a pin drop in that place.
Totally. It was totally like that. And I think it really speaks to the strength of the Divas division that they were put on in the match after that.
I felt
and
so bad for them.
By the, you know, like it started off with just everyone booing. They weren't booing them, right? They were booing what happened.
Right.
And by the end of the match, everybody's cheering and into what's happening. So I think that really speaks to the power of those women.
Absolutely. The fact that they were able to get some of the crowd back and get it going again. And because, you know, they were all standing backstage and it's like, oh no.
Yeah. Cause they didn't know. And all of a sudden they're like, okay, well, here's your certain time. And then all of a sudden, like, they're all like, wait, did that just happen? Like, oh God, we have to follow that.
Right. It's like, oh no. But you mentioned doing Warrior's Jacket. Was it an eerie feeling for you when you found out he had passed? Because that was the last moment that really any of us saw him was on Monday Night Raw in that jacket. You had just seen him. Was that kind of a weird, eerie feeling for you?
Yeah. We actually didn't stay in New Orleans on that Monday. We had to drive back. And I had, told my family, okay, I need you to text me screen captures right away once you see what he's wearing. And my wife was driving, and then all of a sudden, my text messages start blowing up. My Twitter blows up. Everyone's like, oh, my God, that's a Rob Schamberger painting. And so we didn't get to watch it live, unfortunately. But by the time we got back home to Kansas City, it was about 1:30 in the morning. We went ahead and fast-forwarded to the moment, and both of us had our ugly cry over just how emotional the whole week had been. And then, finally, there it was, my art in the middle of the ring, wrapped around Warrior in his dramatic comeback and everything that he was saying. And so Tuesday night, we were finally watching the show. And the next segment to come up was, Warrior. And I got a text from one of my friends in WWE just saying Warrior died. And I couldn't comprehend what I was reading, right? Those two mm-hmm. words. And I'm like, is this like carny talk that I'm unfamiliar with, like wrestler lingo or something? And I just, my wife could see that there was something wrong with me, because I couldn't say it. I couldn't make it real. And I was, just search real quick online and saw Triple H's statement and WWE's statement about it. Then I had to tell her, and we just sat there in silence for probably an hour. And finally, we were just like, okay, we're going to bed, can't deal with this. And like I said, Warrior's agent I'm friendly with, and his father had passed away just a few weeks before. So I immediately, sent a note to him, letting him know that he was in my thoughts. And then also, everything with Dana and the girls, for so many people, their hero was back, and then their hero passed away. But to them, it's, their husband and father. But I've corresponded with them a little bit, and also with Warrior's agent. I had promised him to do a painting of Warrior in the jacket as a thank you gift for putting all that together. And I used some of the same paint that I had used on the jacket in that painting. That helped me, that was a hard painting to do, but by the time I was done with it, I was very happy I'd done it and done it for that person. Sorry to bring the show down.
No, you're totally fine. It sounds like it was really cathartic for you, because, to help you get through that moment. As a artist myself, I can completely relate to that. It's just the small things that help you get through something, and you can put yourself into a piece like that and, have the memory there and share it with someone else. And that's always important.
Right.
So I understand that you're again going to WrestleMania this year.
Yes.
So what's...
I'm very good with these one-word answers, aren't I? Yes. Great for interviews.
Fine. It's totally fine. Editing magic.
Yeah, I'll be painting there again. And it's pretty cool doing a big portrait of Macho Man. And WWE has provided ring canvas that we've stretched out, and I'll be painting on that to do the portrait.
Oh, wow. And is that for them as well, or is that going to be auctioned off, or?
That's not certain yet. they have first dib if some executive walks by and decides that they need that in their office, or that the company just needs to have that, then, you know, we'll do that. Otherwise, it would probably go up on the auction site.
Or, you know, it could just end up in the trunk of the car. I love your auction page on WWE Auctions. It's somewhat painful because I see all these beautiful pieces of art and signed pieces of art, and I want them, and I don't have the money for them, and it's very sad. But it's awesome that you have a page on there.
That's so surreal. I've got one there and one on shop too. You know, like, I've got my own category on WWE Shop. I still haven't quite wrapped my mind around it.
I was gonna say, there's a big difference between last year and this year, as you said.
Yes. And also, I've got the weekly YouTube show with them. We don't quite know what to expect this year. I've definitely got a bigger presence, and we're going to have a ton of prints and paintings that are just like the ones you see on auction. They're frame ready. They're already matted and signed by the superstars and divas. We're don't know if I'll have time to actually paint, or I'm going to be busy talking to people, but that's a good problem to have.
That's a very good problem to have. So, you know, obviously there's a big difference between last year and this year as far as gearing up for it and not really knowing what you're going to do. Because last year you were going down to paint and you were painting live, and this year you're not entirely sure what you're going to do. So is there, you know, if you're talking to people, or is there anybody or anything that you want to do while you're there?
Well, I'm committed to be in my area at Access. From open to close each day. It's crazy, like 12 to 15 hours each day that I'm committed to be there. And that's just for, you know, like, while we're going, there'll still be like set up and tear down each day. It's going to be a smaller painting than it was last year. Like, last year's was 7 foot by 5 foot. This one will be about half that size. Which is fine. Because again, I'm sure people will want their print signed or something, and I want to be able to do that. So there will be a lot of interruptions, but the main plan is to be painting. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And do you know where you're going to be in terms of the Access space, or have they not told you that yet?
Yes. I will be set up right outside of the Superstore. So people don't even need a ticket to Access to come see what I'm doing, which is nice. Cause you also don't need one for the store. So, like, say you're in the area, you're there for WrestleMania, but, you know, Access for whatever reason isn't your thing or in your budget, but you still want, you know, some awesome art or to hang out with a cool guy like me, you don't even need a ticket.
All right. My friend Rachel's going, so I'm going to send her to come find you. So she can see what you're doing, but I follow you on social media, and, you know, I see your videos and I see your paintings, and I have to know about the challenges you set for yourself, which is the 82 pieces that you completed, by the way. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Before WrestleMania, you did them in 70 days, which is incredible. Are we going to get to see any of those at WrestleMania, or what are your plans for those?
Yeah, all these were for WrestleMania. 30 of them, well, 29. Cause I'd already done WrestleMania 30, but 29 of them were the WrestleMania series paintings that I did, where I've painted each WrestleMania. So that's about half of it, or a third, however the math works. And, it depends on which math you use. But also those paintings that we're going to have there. I had to get those done because I'll be backstage at Raw and SmackDown next week, getting them signed. So I needed to have them all ready, by then. So that's why I had like that amount of paintings to get done. It's, you know, pretty much the whole roster plus each WrestleMania.
And what was your thought process behind doing all of that? I mean, just was it, hey, I'm going to do 82 paintings in 72 days, or was it a way to kind of challenge yourself to get yourself out of a rut?
It was strictly, the way that my deal is set up with WWE is, I essentially do what I want to do, and then we sell it. so they gave me that great opportunity. So something like WrestleMania, where they're giving me my own space, where, you know, like I'm even going to have my own merchants there to sell the prints and stuff. It's an amazing opportunity. So I wanted to do everything humanly possible to take advantage of that opportunity. So that's what it was. You know, I want to show to them and to all the fans as well that, the goodwill that they've been showing me is worth it. I guess.
So what's for you, what's the biggest challenge when you come up with the pieces for the talent? Is it kind of nerve wracking when you show it to them? Cause you're not sure if they're going to like it or not.
I haven't had anyone tell me that they don't like them. I don't know if they're just polite or what, but, it's not so much that as just trying in my mind to do the best piece possible that represents what their persona is all about and still have it look cool so that people would want it to. That's mostly it. And then also, yeah, mostly when I'm dealing with them, we're essentially coworkers. So I'm, you know, it's like when you're at the office, you want to make sure that your coworkers see that you're doing a good job.
Right.
So that's kind of how it is with dealing with them too.
So do you have a favorite person to paint? Is there somebody that gets like super excited whenever they see something from you?
Several people have been cool. The ones that are the most correct answer for that, I can't say because it would hurt their gimmick.
Aww.
One that really surprised me, was Randy Orton. He's Randy, right?
Right.
And we're both Missouri kids. He's St. Louis, I'm Kansas City. So we're only like 3 months difference in age, I think. I think he's like exactly 3 months older than me. So I always kind of saw everything that he was doing as inspiration to myself to push, you know. But when I'm back there, I don't want to come off as, you know, a geeky fan or anything, right? You know, I want to show that I belong there. So at first, you know, Randy was a little gruff, the first time I met him, but it was just because of the day that he was having, you know, not anything directed towards me. And, by the end of the conversation, you know, he was totally into what I was doing. He's shared the paintings, which was great. And, now, like, whenever I see him, you know, like, at a show, he'll be walking along talking to people, kind of ignoring people that are yelling at him to help with something. And they'll be like, oh, hey, Rob, I'll be over soon, you know, to sign whatever. he's a cool guy.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk to you about this year's WrestleMania and what they've kind of got going on. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you about SummerSlam because you had another unique experience at this year's SummerSlam in LA where you got to paint Stone Cold Steve Austin live and then present it to him. Was that a little nerve wracking? Because
beforehand he told me that if I did a bad job I was going to get a stunner.
No pressure, right?
And then I was kind of like, well, do I do a bad painting just so I can say I got a stunner? That was neat because it was on that Sunday of SummerSlam, and which happened to also be my wife's birthday, and she was along with me. So when we went up there to, you know, so he could see it and get our, you know, picture taken together, I just, you know, kind of dropped like, oh, hey, it's my wife's birthday. So, you know, she got a in-person happy birthday from Stone Cold. So that was a good husband of the year moment, I think. Steve's been a really great supporter pretty much since when I started. And we correspond every now and then through, you know, like private messages and things. Very nice guy. And also because I'm friendly with Jim Ross as well, so I think, you know, Jim is in his ear quite a bit about me. That was really neat. And then also the painting, afterwards, we auctioned off to go to the Connors Cure charity, which is one that's very important to me. And I think we raised somewhere around like $4,500 with that painting, with all the proceeds going to the charity.
That
made it all worthwhile.
Absolutely. And what was it like for you last? Did you happen to see Raw last night where they made the announcement regarding Connor being given the Inductee Warrior Award for the Hall of Fame?
Yes. Yeah. my wife was she just utterly lost it. I mean, she was just bawling like crazy while we were watching that. And I talked with Steve, Connor's father, occasionally. Really, really nice man. And, it's really special to see how everything around WWE, all the fans, everyone are keeping Connor's memory alive. And that now it's, that memory is being used to help out so many other people. I did a painting, when Connor, pinned Triple H and was doing the Yes chant above him with Daniel Bryan. Did a painting of that and gave it to Steve, and he's got it up in his living room now. That one was really, really emotional. I mean, doing the painting alone was tough, but then, when I talked to Steve, he, said that he hadn't been able to look at any pictures or footage of his son from that time because Connor was very, very sick.
Right.
And all that he could see was how, sick his son was and that he was going to be gone very shortly. And he said that the painting was the first time he was able to look at that and really have those emotions about, how special that moment was for Connor. That was one of those things that reminded me why I do what I do.
I would agree. That's, like last night, that's right. Right to the heart. I know I got a little misty-eyed. I think everybody did, because it's definitely well-deserved. And he seemed like he was such a really special spirit.
Yeah.
Very, very sweet.
Yeah, that was a tough one to do, but I'm very glad I did it.
Again, it's the hard ones that sometimes are the most special,
Yes. Yeah, I definitely agree.
So another kind of, I guess, tough one, because you're doing the painting of Macho Man, would be to actually see Macho Man going into the Hall of Fame. What's your reaction to that?
I'm very excited. Very, very excited for all of the Macho Man fans and, getting to see that happen. I actually didn't get into wrestling until I was 18, which would have been around 98, 99. So I didn't grow up on it like most people did and have, the memories, especially of like the 80s, early 90s wrestling, to where, like Macho Man has a very, very special place in a lot of people's fans, a lot of people's hearts. Not saying that I don't, but, I don't have it like in me like I do for, say, Transformers or G.I. Joe or something, right? The so many other kids from that time period did. So I'm knowing, I can just kind of empathize for the emotions that they're having finally seeing this happen. And that I'm very excited for that. And, I've talked with Lanny, here and there. He likes the paintings that I've done quite a bit. And, it'll be nice to do this piece.
That'll be pretty cool, especially if Lanny can come by and see you working on it, or you would get to present it to him at the end. That would be, I think, very, very awesome.
Yeah, I hope so.
So, we know that you keep up to date on the product, and you tweet a lot during the pay-per-views, and especially during Raw and everything. And I'd like to know who are some of your favorites to watch these days?
You're going to get me in trouble with that. It's very different when these performers as people,
right,
not just as the character that they portray on TV, and seeing how hard so many of them work. It's a cop-out answer, but I just get really excited around WrestleMania season. Everyone really steps up what they're doing. The stories are all into high gear. And it's really cool too, you know, like the crowds start getting a lot more energetic, and then especially WrestleMania week, you know, just how hot everything is. It's the time of year where all of these performers get to see, you know, just how big and important what they're doing is. So I get excited for them that they get to go through that. That aside, I'm really fascinated by how they're doing the build up to Bray Wyatt versus The Undertaker. Yes, of course, I would like to see Undertaker, you know, more often. But I think that it'll really make when he does finally step out at WrestleMania 31 just that much more impactful. If they do hold him off TV until then.
You just have to promise me, because I'm jazzed up for this one as well, that you do a painting of the stare down between the two when that moment finally
it's
comes.
Funny you say that, and with what I'm working on at the moment.
All right.
Monday following WrestleMania, you know, I've got my weekly videos on YouTube, and I'm working on a piece that is like all the big matchups from WrestleMania, and it'll go up that day, which should have both of those guys in it.
So I have to stalk your social media that day. Got it.
Right. Also, I'm really excited for Rusev and Lana. Two really great people. You know, sorry to ruin any kind of gimmick. They're really great people. And seeing how far both of them have come in just 1 year is awesome. You know, he hasn't even, I think, really hit his full potential yet. I think that there's a lot of mileage to get out of him and that character. And it's great to see that, you know, here he is now, you know, in a major matchup with John Cena. I think that'll really continue to elevate his spot.
And what are your thoughts on John Cena's actions last night?
Well, I might be seeing things a little different. Okay, like the latest Superman movie, Man of Steel, I didn't particularly care for because of the way that they depicted Superman. I have a certain way that I want to see Superman, which is being, you know, Superman, not snapping people's necks and stuff. I do think it's interesting that they're evolving the character of John Cena and taking it in a different place. I just maybe personally don't like the way that some of it is done, but also I don't know where it's all going.
Right.
So that could be interesting to see how it all pays off.
It could be. It definitely could be. Now, I have one last question for you, and I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Is Roman Reigns the next WWE champion?
Boy, there's no one more credible for him to lose to than Brock Lesnar. But I think that, like, here's another thing that people don't really think about and they haven't really talked about on TV. Now, Roman Reigns is undefeated at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be, and this is his first singles match at a WrestleMania. So it could be the beginning of a new streak, defeating the person that ended the streak. You know, that's a good, compelling story. Plus, I think it's been fascinating to watch his rise as well, and the things that he's had to fight, you know, both like storyline wise and in real life, with some of the fan reaction to him. But also, I think in the last month to 2 months, he's really stepped up and you know, like gotten a lot better on the mic. You know, like there's the old saying, especially Stone Cold always said, was that his character was just himself with the volume turned up.
Yeah.
Same thing with The Rock. I think that we're very close to seeing that with Roman Reigns. You know, they've just about got it there, and I think that could be really exciting. And I would have no problem with him being champion at all.
Good to know. Sorry, Rob. Well, I want to say thank you so much. And if you don't mind, can you tell our listeners where they can find you and find your work and sort of check you out if they've never seen your stuff?
Sure. I'm the most active on Twitter. It's at Rob Schamberger, R-O-B-S-C-H-A-M-B-E-R-G-E-R. Also on Instagram, same thing. Got a Facebook page, which, you know, it's Facebook. Every Monday, got the videos on WWE's YouTube channel called Canvas to Canvas. You can watch me do a whole painting in 2 minutes, plus, you know, see my latest artwork as well. And, let's see, also WWE shop, got a whole section there with prints and posters, plus WWE auction. We have signed prints and original paintings, available there. And my website, if you want to see the 1,000+ wrestling paintings I've done, that's robschamberger.com. Yeah. And I hope anyone that's in San Jose for WrestleMania week, hope to see you at Access.
Yeah. Go stop by, say hi, watch him work, because it's amazing. Rob, thank you so much for joining us today. We're greatly appreciative.
Thanks a lot for having me back on.
No problem. And good luck this year.
Thanks.
Can't wait to see what you do. No, you'll be fine. It's all right, Rob. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
A big thanks to Rob for joining us. Everybody, don't forget, check him out at WrestleMania Access. You can go to WWEshop.com. You can go to his website. You can go to his Facebook, his Twitter, his Tumblr. My God, he's everywhere. It's amazing.
He's all over that social media.
He is totally all over that social media, as are we. And you know what? With that, I say we do the plugs and we get out of here.
I think it's a good idea. Remember, everyone check out the Rack Action Total Divas Season 3, Episode 19 and 20, because both are now available, because there's two parts and we had to do two different episodes because, well, just awesome like that.
It's a BOGO, y'all.
Now I have Booker T's voice in my head. Hate you so much right now.
Well, it's better than Taker in pink panties.
Follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack, Facebook.com/WTRTheRack, Saturday Night Midnight Edition of CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, and the unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, Facebook.com/CigarettesAndBandanas. Check out the website, CBRadioLive.com. Use the hashtag BlameRob Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason Omega, 10 p.m. Eastern at WTR Sunday Night, Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday night's the Raw Post, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Will we finally see a taker? Probably not. But tune in anyway, we'll talk all about the show. And back here next Thursday night for another edition of Rock at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/WTRTheRack. Get us on iTunes and Stitcher, Rock Radio Show, or Wild Talk Radio Network, as well as TuneIn Radio.
We may not see a taker, but you can certainly listen to me squee over Taker.
That's for sure.
And Bray, and all the shenanigans that are going on in that feud, because holy crap, Monday. But you can follow me on Twitter, at LynnSward, L-A-N-S-W-R-D. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LynnSward, same as the Twitter. Keep an eye out, because I have a new piece coming shortly, if I can get it done in time for Mania. We'll have to see. And also, please don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MVG1211. So for Rock, for Rob Schomburger, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!